Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour 2. It's a Thursday. NFL game tonight. We'll be watching that. Live in L.A., it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. So, it is interesting when I, people come up to me all the time and, hey, do you really think blank or do you really think that? And people are over 99.99% of the people, 100% are always gracious, nice. Nobody's a jerk. People are awful to each other.
People are only mean on the internet.
Yeah, in person people. Last night, I walk out of a restaurant. Tables are like, want to talk sports, everything. People are wonderful.
My entire career, I've only ever had one person say something moderately mean to me. He said he didn't like the sound of my voice, which I can respect.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right. But I am getting now, people are asking me now a lot about like all these young quarterbacks.
Right.
And what I try to tell people is it's not just the quarterback. What is he inheriting? So, for instance, today the Jets have had a terrible day of practice. Denzel Mims, their big quarterback, their big wide receiver prospect, hurt all last year. He had to be carted. He's hurt again. Carl Lawson left on a carted off the field, defensive lineman. Everybody's like, Jets have had a terrible day of practice. Like, our guys are getting hurt. And so when people say, you don't like Zach Wilson, it's not that I don't like him. He's smaller than I'd like. He was 19-9 in college. Could never beat the good teams he played. He was 0-2 to his rival. But here's a great example. One of the reasons I think Trey Lance is going to work is because I trust the general manager, the owner, and the coach, and the roster. It's nothing against Zach Wilson. I think Trey Lance is a bigger, stronger athlete. I think Justin Fields is a bigger, stronger athlete. So I like them more than Zach Wilson. I think Trevor Lawrence, a bigger, stronger athlete. I do think, with very few exceptions, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, I like my quarterbacks to be 6'2", 6'3". See over the line. It's an easier life. Bigger arm is always better than an average arm, right? And so just to give you an example of why I've said, I think Zach Wilson, first of all, he absolutely has the fourth best coach in his division. That's not even arguable today. That's not good. He has the fourth best roster in his division. That's not good. But here's a great example of why I question Zach Wilson. So let's take arguably the four most dysfunctional franchises. Detroit, Jets, Cleveland, Chicago. They struggle with quarterbacks. Some companies just don't do certain things well. Last 25 years, the Bears, the Lions, the Jets, and Cleveland, last 25 years, have drafted 15 quarterbacks in the first round. None of them will make the Hall of Fame. Only 3 division titles. Only one got to a Super Bowl, Rex Grossman. In a year, he had 23 TDs and 20 picks. It was kind of a quarterback-limited team. Not a quarterback-driven team. Almost all of these guys have bombed, underachieved, had losing records. I mean, Matt Stafford is one of the most... He was the number one high school quarterback in the country, the number one college quarterback in the country. He's never won a playoff game, no division titles. Matt Stafford. That's how... So you look at this. McNown, Grossman, Trubisky, Fields, Couch, Quinn... Manziel, Baker, Brandon Whedon, Joey Harrington, Matt Stafford, Pennington, Sanchez, Darnold, Zach Wilson. Do you really believe that it's always the kid's fault? That it's always the player's fault? It's just a coincidence that these four often dysfunctional franchises, it's just crazy. They can't get the quarterback right. Really? How come Green Bay always gets the quarterback right? Oh. Maybe because they're a better run franchise? I mean, so with Zach Wilson, is fighting an absolute uphill battle. And most of those quarterbacks that you saw on that list were much more acclaimed than Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson played in a small, they're independent, but they play small teams. He was 19-9. I don't believe he was even named team captain, which makes me wonder why. He couldn't beat rival Utah. They played Washington twice. Chris Peterson couldn't beat them. He couldn't beat good up. So a lot of these guys were like Heisman. I mean, look at Baker's career until he got the right coach. It was a mess. It was a disaster. And now Baker gets the right coach. So when I question your quarterback, it's not just the kid. Do I think Zach Wilson's a little small? Yeah. A little cocky. Yeah, why didn't his teammates name him captain? Like, that's kind of a given for quarterbacks, right? Yeah, he plays a little bit like a poor man's Aaron Rodgers or a better man's Johnny Manziel. There's stuff I like, stuff I don't, but it's nothing personal. I look at the everything. I look at all the surrounding. My issue with Justin Fields is not Justin Fields. It's the Bears front office, which I don't love. They were 8-8 last year. They were bad down the stretch. And they only had a couple of draft picks, didn't do anything in free agency. Their offensive line's kind of in a rebuild. It's not a Justin Fields issue. It's, can he overcome that organization's history with quarterbacks? And by the way, the Jets and the Packers are practicing together. You know, Zach is saying all the right things. He was talking about his admiration for Aaron Rodgers. He said, I'm a little bit of a fanboy. He's saying all the right stuff. Here he is.
James is a big fanboy. He was getting a little nervous. No, I'm a big fanboy too. We all got to kind of pretend like we've been there before, but we enjoy just being out here and being able to talk to him. We're all technically at the same level now. We're all in the NFL, but it's like we all still kind of like, you know what, that's Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Fans often think, Colin, you just want to be right. I don't care. My paychecks are not based on right. My relationship with Joy is not relaced on right. Our chemistry doesn't matter. Right doesn't make our chemistry better. Right doesn't change my paycheck. Interesting does. I want Zach Wilson to be interesting. He's not going to be interesting at 2-15. I want him to succeed. I want all of them to. There's nothing more drecky than bad quarterback play. People say, oh, you love football. No, I love good football. I didn't watch the Texans last year. I didn't watch the Jags. There's always teams in the league. I try to watch the top 15, 20 teams in the league. I mean, you tell me by week 3, you going to be watching the Texans? I think Philadelphia is going to be a bad watch. If you don't live in Philadelphia, you think networks want to put the Eagles on? Networks won't. The networks won't put the Eagles on. They know you don't want to watch. So nobody roots against these guys, but you have to consider everything. When Andrew Luck has to retire early and he can't overcome it physically at 6'4.5", 240, big, smart, tough, and he's like, I'm out. I can't do it any longer. Andrew Luck couldn't handle it. That's why I question Zach Wilson. And apparently the Jets today are falling apart physically. They've had a terrible day at practice with the Packers. So the big story yesterday, it was pretty interesting. I got to be honest. Draymond Green has a really good podcast, and he interviewed Kevin Durant. It was fascinating. And I've said this before. It creates content. I'm not going to criticize people for content. You give me good content, I'm a fan. But it does strike to something that everybody was really hot on the Brooklyn Nets last year. And I was like, hold on. Whoa. You know how, like, when they have these franchises in Hollywood, there's an arc to it. Like Batman, the super teams, right? We compare them to, like, movie trilogies, like their franchises, like Batman or Superman. They start with comic books, so we get emotionally invested in the comic book. And then they make a movie out of it. You're like, whoo. And then they start selling merchandise. They make a franchise out of it. So there's an arc to it. You know, that's really what Kobe and Shaq were. Pippen and Jordan were. Isaiah Lambeer were. Like, they were young together, lost close together, won close, and then became like a dynasty. There's an arc to it. And so in Golden State, Draymond, Steph, and Klay, they were like a comic book, a movie, oh, it's a franchise. Like, there's always been that arc to it. Now, increasingly, we feel like the NBA is kind of a throw it together. The Milwaukee Bucks just did that. Young together, lost together, win a title together, and I think they have a chance to win 2 or 3 titles here in the next 5 years. The Warriors did it the historic way. Drafted together, grow together, lose together, suddenly good together. Oh, damn, they're great together. The Nets are the opposite, and that's why I've always had questions. The Nets are like if you threw Matrix, Lord of the Rings, Transformers, you just threw them all together, already stars, and said, make it work. Well, they've had no struggle together. So when you throw KD and Harden, and by the way, KD's had multiple divorces. Kyrie's had multiple divorces. I'm talking about basketball divorces. James Harden couldn't get along with CP3. Westbrook, Dwight Howard. It's like throwing three different movie trilogies together and go, all right, these guys played 8 games together last year. It's just not the way the league historically works. There is an arc to it. There's a formula to it, just like movie franchises. You're a comic book, so people are totally in to the character. Then they make a movie. They start selling a lot of merchandise. You know, Burger King, I get my little Superman in, and then I go over there and I get my... And then they make a franchise out of it. And then maybe off that, you create another franchise. But you don't just throw Superman and Batman and this guy together and just, first year, it's going to be great. Like, you, there's got to be a build. The NBA is hard. Now, increasingly, you are seeing people throw stuff together. But I've always been reluctant on the Brooklyn thing. And as I watched the KD interview with Draymond yesterday, that was always my question on KD. Man, just be very careful on this stuff. It is hard to get great players together and it all works. Because Kyrie emotionally, not quite sure where he is day to day. Harden, you know, he struggled with some star teammates. KD, you know, he's had some stuff that doesn't work. Didn't kind of work in Golden State. Didn't really work in OKC. So I guess that's my point being, I've always been a doubter on the Nets thing. It just doesn't feel right. And all these guys, by the way, I'd say KD and Kyrie are great, but they're past their prime due to their injuries. Harden's probably in it, but he's never been a great playoff performer. So that's my take. We're busy today.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
In 2 days, one of the greatest fighters of our generation puts his legacy on the line as Manny Pacquiao battles welterweight world champion Jordanis Ugas in the can't-miss title fight of the summer. In 2 days, live on pay-per-view. Buy it now on the Fox Sports app and watch on any screen you want.
You know how certain people picked a perfect thing to do with their professional career? Like Manny Pacquiao was born to fight.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally picked the perfect thing. It is remarkable how many fights he's been in. Now, he doesn't have the punching power. I mean, obviously, you know, Brady's not quite, you know, physically. That guy can take a punch. He is still, his volume of punches.
Well, he's also brilliance. Like, he knows what's coming. I mean, he just can pick you apart mentally at this point.
So he walked by me in the hall about, it was before that fight when he fought that young kid. I thought he was going to lose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's small. Manny's not big. You sit and watch him in the ring, he completely manipulates.
Yeah.
Completely. The only guy he couldn't manipulate is Mayweather. But it's like, you get these veteran guys in the ring, it's checkers and chess. Like, Manny is, it's just amazing to me to watch him fight. The volume of punches, the percentage that he lands. Like, he literally picked the perfect thing. You ever seen some of these politicians that talk today and you're like, you picked the wrong profession. You should not be in the public. You should just not be talking publicly.
Yes.
You really have no idea what you're doing. Go run a car lot. Like, you have no business talking publicly about policy. Manny Pacquiao is picked the perfect thing to do in life. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
It was the Keith Thurman fight that you're talking about.
Yeah, and Thurman's this young guy. And Thurman, big puncher. And I watched the first round and I'm like, the old man has won the fight.
He is impressive.
Completely manipulating Thurman.
So Aaron Rodgers showed up to training camp after a dramatic offseason with the Packers. Retirement was one of the options he was reportedly considering, and he spoke about how close he was actually to walking away.
I felt going into the weekend before camp that I was 50-50. I don't care if people don't believe that. I mean, that's true. There were some things that got me to 50-50 for sure. And, you know, I spent a couple of days in silence and meditation and contemplation and really felt like I should come back.
Packers have a beatnik, a hippie. He's doing meditation and Bikram yoga to figure out.
No, I think it's good to take time to make decisions. I think it's good to take a step back and, you know, think about things. But this situation with Aaron Rodgers has gotten
weird.
It's approaching weird. Now, I do think that this is a leverage move because for all the talk about how he doesn't have any play next season and, you know, nothing really changed with his contract, like, no, they didn't come to that agreement for no reason. Like, I do believe, aside from whatever they signed to get him into training camp, they have a gentleman's agreement in place. Like, look, at the end of this, we're moving.
So do you believe, because I truly believe this is the last year.
Yes. This statement here, if I wasn't 99, this just shoved me over the edge. Like, he does not want to be there anymore.
Right.
So, I think he came back this season, one, because of money. Because, look, we can say all we want about how much money he makes. $30 million is $30 million, right? So I'll just calm down here, all right? He's not Bill Gates. So $30 million is enough to get me to do something I don't want to do, all right, first of all, and play and work with people I don't want to work with. But also, I do think he does have loyalty to a lot of the guys in that locker room.
Sure.
And I don't think he wanted to leave not only the guys in the locker room, his teammates, the organization, but the city of Green Bay high and dry with Jordan Love. And, you know, that was going to affect the next place that he went. Like, that was going to affect the future of his career. Was he really ready to walk away? I think he faced that reality. Like, am I willing to no longer play football in order to avoid this situation that I'm that unhappy with? And he came to the conclusion that he's not. But I don't think he's going to continue doing that moving forward. And that's part of the reason why they came to that agreement before he came into camp. Like, this whole idea that he doesn't have any leverage, like, it's not about leverage anymore. I think they had a sit-down conversation and said, look, I don't want to be here. I've honestly contemplated legitimately retiring over coming back here, which he himself has just said. But I'm going to play this season. At the end of this season, let's sit down and figure out how we can both move away from each other in a non-dramatic way.
But Aaron also said yesterday, I don't want this to be a farewell tour. It is.
You know, for the Packers, yeah. I don't think it's a farewell tour for his career. I don't think it's a farewell tour for the NFL.
But
for the Packers, yeah.
When you bring up, I'm 50-50, retirement.
Or a farewell tour. It's bye, guys.
Yeah.
Enjoy Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay.
This is
he
it.
He is saying all the things without saying, I ain't going to be here. That's what he's saying. It's out. He's gone.
It's over.
It's over. And it's okay. Things come to an end. That doesn't mean it wasn't great.
Everything has an expiration date. It's just with food and milk, it's on the carton. This has an expiration date. The expiration date is the last snap of the Packers season.
Correct.
This has an expiration date, but it's not going to be on the helmets or the milk carton or the, you know, it's not.
And they're not going to be official about it. And I don't think.
But it is. This is it.
I think they both agreed, being the Packers front office and Aaron Rodgers, that let's come to an agreement before the season starts.
Yeah. And
avoid any drama at the end of this season.
Yeah, but isn't he adding to the drama, saying stuff like this? That's creating more drama.
I think he's kind of softening the blow a little bit.
I think it's...
And because he's leaving regardless, I think he probably feels a little more empowered to, you know, to
he doesn't
say
care.
A little bit more. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it all the time. You know when you're leaving somewhere, you know, you just...
You don't care anymore.
Get a little more loose.
Yeah.
Get a little more loose. So the Rams are hosting the Raiders for two joint practices this week ahead of their preseason matchup on Saturday. But Sean McVay hopes things get better in their second session because he was not happy with what he saw from his team on day one.
I didn't like how sloppy it felt overall. There was a lot of breaks in the action because of unnecessary stuff. And, you know, it wasn't exclusive to one side or the other. But, you know, for us to get the work that I know Coach Gruden and his group wants and for us and our group, you know, we got to clean up some of the mechanics. There's going to be a lot of good things that we can learn from, but it just didn't feel good the way that it ended.
We'll see. Can't wait.
I'm very interested in seeing what the Rams do this season.
Yeah, so am I. I just talked the other day on a podcast. I talked to Les Snead about it, and I just came out and said, who's your running backs? Like, they lost both their best two running backs. So it's like, and that division is just a punch in the mouth division. It's like not having a running game in the AFC North.
Yeah.
Last year, the Steelers didn't.
Well, we saw that.
Okay, Baltimore did and Cleveland did. Like, there are divisions that are just physical divisions. The AFC North You've got to have a running game. Cleveland and Baltimore do. Those are easily the best two teams. In the NFC West, you have got to be physical. Like, you got to be able to control the line of scrimmage. You got Pete Carroll's defense. You got San Francisco's defensive line. You got the Rams. So I don't know how you can control the line of scrimmage if you don't have a run game in that division. There's so much I like about the Rams, but I don't get it. Like, you've got to be able to keep the ball away if you play Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray four times, right? How do I keep the ball away from those players? It's not passing under a pass. By the way, the Arizona's pass rush was good last year, and they added J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
So I don't want my quarterback passing. I don't want Stafford passing 42 times against the Seahawks or the Rams or the Niners
and
or the Vikings.
You made an aggressive,
Arizona.
You made an aggressive move to add Matthew Stafford, who, to me, the pressure is on Matthew Stafford. Sean McVay's like not in the hot seat, all right? We know what Sean McVay is. We don't know what Matthew Stafford is with a legitimate organization. Like, all we hear about is how great Matthew Stafford is, and now he's with the Rams.
Well, just think about this. This is the best pass rush division, arguably, in football. Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle. It's the best pass rush division in football, and probably the best division. You have no running game.
It's just not, just say it out loud. It's the worst. I can remember the feeling when I read that news. Like,
crush.
No.
You could have lost almost anybody. You couldn't have lost Donald or Stafford. But if you're in a big, it's not hard to figure out. If you play in a physical division, you cannot be the Steelers passing it 55 times.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh was a bad team by the end
of
the year.
That's just not a sustainable offense. So Kevin Durant opens up during a Bleacher Report interview with Draymond Green. They talked about one of the most pivotal moments in Durant's career, which was when he left the Thunder to join the Warriors in 2016. And Draymond asked KD why he made that decision.
It was a basketball decision, but I knocked down to like not giving a ladder with that too. You know what I'm saying? It kind of knocked down two birds with one stone with that. But it was mainly, I felt like I was the absolute perfect fit with what you guys were doing on both ends of the ball. And I knew my game had reached a point where I needed to really see what that looked like. And I thought that was just a no-brainer. I would do that a million times. And, you know, again, I didn't second guess at all.
That move I totally got. I'm shocked. I remember the day it came down, I was totally shocked.
Right.
It was literally the second best player in the league went to the dynasty. It's like, what's the precedent for that? There was none.
Well, it was also not just the dynasty. They lost to the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals in his last season there when they were up 3-1. So while, yes, it was absolutely the right basketball decision, and in my opinion, he got the last laugh because he won the championships and the finals MVP. Like, he showed what he was capable of doing when he had the right pieces around him. But he was also highly criticized for that move. And for many fans, they feel like you just joined the team that beat you. Now, I don't feel that way, nor would I care if I'm Kevin Durant, because at the end of the day, I still have to win the championship. But this is what put the Warriors in that space of super team, and they kind of still carry that title, even though they're not. The Warriors, as they are currently assembled, are no different than the Bucks. They drafted those guys. They developed those guys. They ran the team appropriately and functionally so that somebody they could have room and space to bring in someone like Kevin Durant. So I think that the Warriors and KD, for a lot of fans, they like kind of just lump them into this space of like super team. And, you know, they kind of like not cheated, but cheapened their way to those championships, which, again, who cares? If Kevin Durant, like I said, I would do it a million times. And he's right. I never understand this like idea that guys have to like suffer their entire careers to prove how loyal they are or how great they are. Like, you would hold it against them if they retire. If Kevin Durant retired with all of those stats and like personal accomplishments but never won a championship, you wouldn't say that he's as great as he is.
Well, like,
but
Bradley,
if he joins the Warriors,
Bradley Beal's loyalty to Washington like makes me think less of him. It's like, so you don't want to play with great players. Like, what are you doing? You're going to play 20 years in Washington and never win a second-round playoff series. Like, I don't get that.
It's this weird, like, struggle competition mentality that people have. Like, oh, you didn't go through enough
pain
to win a championship. It's just like, and that's just a mentality. Like, if you're never going to convince somebody that believes that about KD, that they shouldn't feel that way, But it just doesn't matter. At the end of his career, 2 decades from now, we're going to talk about KD as the champion that he is because he made that decision. And I'm sure he's happy he didn't make that decision for those fans.
I mean, I'm happy with the way – I don't resent trust fund kids. But if I was one, I'd be okay with it. I mean, like, it's not like I say to myself, I wanted to struggle like I did for 20 years. But
well, because your experience was your experience.
Yeah, that's right. Like, so I'm not – I don't resent
– Right.
I'm. It's made me into who I am. But it's like, if somebody had it easier than me, like, I want my kids to have an easier life than I did.
Well, everyone says that, but then they judge other people who didn't have it as hard as them. I'm with you. I don't like, everybody thinks everyone's life was easier than theirs, and they have no concept of what people go through. I'm with you. If you can, if you have an easier way to a championship,
God love you.
You still have to win a championship. Like, you still have to do it. It's still very difficult to do.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live News.
It was the big news at the end of our show, and it's a story today that Draymond Green, who's still a member of the Warriors, called out his franchise. His podcast is fascinating, and he's always been an incredibly authentic player. You know, that's what Draymond is. You're getting the real dude. Kevin Durant, by the way, I'll tell you what he thinks. So it's interesting. How's it landing with the Warriors? And Rick Bucher covered them in the NBA for a long time, since the early 90s, joins us now live. So when you watch that Draymond Kevin Durant podcast, and I'm thinking, Bob Myers and Steve Kerr are watching that podcast too. How did it land for you?
Yeah. Well, look, the media is always accused of coming into interviews or conversations with an agenda based on the questions that they ask. Well, Draymond Green is ready to join the media because he came in with an agenda, which was, I want to clear my name. KD, tell us that the reason that you left wasn't because of our argument. Please say that. And KD did him a solid and said, no, it wasn't. It was how the team handled it. Now, this is the part that surprised and quite honestly disappointed me, is Draymond got what he want at that point. He didn't have to give you the backstory of him meeting with Bob Myers and Steve Kerr and basically telling them, you're going to F this up. And then saying, I think they F'd it up, and getting that co-sign from KD as well. Because it's one thing for KD to say whatever he's going to say. He's part of the Brooklyn Nets. But Draymond Green is not only still with the Warriors, but Steve Kerr and Bob Myers are presiding over a team that is relatively young and has not won with Steve Kerr and Bob Myers the way Draymond and Steph and Klay have. It's not going to affect them, but James Wiseman, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Jordan Poole, I can't help but feel that those guys now watching that interview are going to look at Steve Kerr and Bob Myers in a completely different way, as will every potential free agent that wants to come to Golden State. So I don't see how this benefits the Warriors in the big picture. It clears Draymond Green's name, or at least attempts to, but dumping it on Steve Kerr and Bob Myers in the big picture is not what this team needed coming out of the gate.
So, you know, there's been, I saw a story, it was last week, that the Warriors were conflicted on Ben Simmons, who does a lot of things, a taller version of Draymond, does a lot of things Draymond does. Very good defender, can move the fast break. They're similar, they have some similarities. Does this then... the power dynamic now is, okay, yeah, let's just make the Ben Simmons move. I mean, is Draymond in trouble being a Warrior then?
Look, it's a fair question. And honestly, I don't know the answer in terms of how willing they would be to move him. I have to imagine that both Steph and Klay, regardless of what is said, would rather have Draymond than Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
These guys have been successful together.
So
and
would I
would imagine that they would put up a fight.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The question I have to ask is, does Draymond want out? Because why would you voluntarily put this out there unless you're trying to push the team to make a move and push you out? And this is strictly conspiracy theory, but they're so delicious. How can we avoid it? There was once upon a time a group of players who played for Team USA, and they got together and decided, you know what, we should play together. And lo and behold, they wound up in Miami as a big three. Well, Team USA had both Draymond Green and Damian Lillard on it. And if there's one small forward that Damian Lillard and the Blazers have been looking for, it's a Draymond Green type. Now, I don't know if he'd want to go there. I do know that Damian Lillard would love to play. He has a tremendous amount of respect for Draymond Green. So I don't know whether there's anything to Draymond saying what he said because he wants to move on. But I'm searching for an explanation as to why he would do it. Because other than just clearing his name and starting his podcast off with a bang, this does a whole lot of damage for where he is currently.
Yeah, it's interesting. I said this yesterday. It was kind of interesting. The NBA came out with its schedule, its Christmas schedule, which is the most watched NBA day until the conference finals. And Trae Young was on it, and Jason Tatum was on it, and Luka, and Donovan Mitchell, and LeBron. It was all these stars and young stars. Zion wasn't on it. And I thought to myself, Zion's camp noticed that. And I thought, so he's going to have his third coach. I know we say all the time on this show, everything's something, nothing's everything.
Yeah.
But I saw that and I thought, oh, the league chose Trae Young over Zion. A year ago, Zion, 2 years ago, he was the sensation of the summer league. Historic. Last year, we couldn't watch. Rick, that was not good for the Pelicans. That was not good for the fans who think he's staying in New Orleans, right?
There's a couple of things here. I mean, number one, yes, because it points up to the fact that while you have Zion, you can't look at the Pelicans as being a team that you expect to be meaningful coming up. And if you look at these matchups, they all have an element to them, either an interesting matchup, Chris Paul, Devin Booker against potentially Steph Curry and Draymond Green, Luka Doncic, Donovan Mitchell, but they're all with meaningful teams. Even the Hawks-Knicks is a rematch of their first round. And some of it is, too, in terms of where they are, playing the late game against the Jazz. I mean, that's the first place I looked, was that's the game that you might insert the Pelicans. But you have two teams there with Dallas and New Orleans that's on Central Time, if I'm not mistaken. And so you can't schedule that quite as late. The game's in Salt Lake City, if I'm not mistaken. So some of it is just the logistics. But there's no doubt that at least part of this is because the New Orleans Pelicans just aren't a meaningful team in the league, haven't been and aren't expected to be, and as a result are not part of this slate. It's not all on that. But I look at, too, every single matchup has at least one big market team involved in it. So I think that the league was also looking toward, we want to make sure that our ratings are right on Christmas Day as well.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So your Draymond perspective is interesting. He wanted to clear his name, but he probably went too far. You know, you do a podcast, and podcasts are very unique because they're on tape. And I've said this before, when I do a podcast at home, a lot of times I'll crack open a Corona and it's very loose. You can swear in a podcast. I mean, you can do that in a podcast. I can't do it here. Sure. So podcasting, I've in my short time doing it, you get more comfortable on podcasts. And so you come out and you want to have a message and then you start rambling and all of a sudden Draymond's throwing I've done it before.
Colin, if you look at all of the incidents, the things that have been said that have blown up over, I'd say, the last 5 years, I would dare say 80% of them came out of podcasts.
Yes, yes.
Where people were just relaxing and just, they were just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, with Draymond's podcast, I mean, that was heavily edited. He had the opportunity to clean that up if he wanted to clean it up. But that was such a juicy item that I guarantee you Bleacher Report was like, no, we have to keep that.
No.
And Draymond went with it because he's trying to make his name in the media world.
Yeah.
This disappoints me. He did all those things. I've always respected the fact that, one, Draymond Green is underrated for as he is as a basketball player because of his high basketball IQ and what he's made himself into as a player. Have the utmost respect there, and I've always respected the fact that He speaks his mind. But this is going above and beyond, because when he spoke his mind in previous situations, it was trying to get something right. There was a disagreement about something that needed to be fixed. This didn't need to be fixed. This was already in the rearview mirror. Yeah. This was already done. And now he's done damage on a team going forward. And I can't say that I've ever seen him do that.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. Didn't think about it that way. Good stuff, Rick Bucher. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. Interesting show today. Aaron Rodgers is a 50-50 retirement guy, and Draymond Green's calling out Steve Kerr. And I got to be honest with you, it was fascinating. It was. They're both interesting content.
You don't usually see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we want everybody to be real.
So I love it. I have no problem with it, because you're absolutely right. All people ask for, be authentic, keep it real. Okay, well, sometimes you're not going to like what people have to say.
There are times, though, like I would never, ever bring up I'm thinking of retirement publicly. I don't think that's good. But again, if that's
I think it's a leverage move, though. So I mean, I do think he was thinking about retirement, but I think him saying that isn't, oh, I'm really thinking about hanging it up. I actually thought about retiring over coming back here.
Where people want to retire. What do you do? I don't want to be in a golf course all day.
I can't retire at 34.
I don't understand. Retire to what? I get to talk for a living. I don't understand. I understand if you were a mechanic, you got a bad back, you've done it 40 years, there's a pension or something like that. Guy, go ahead. You know what I would do when I retire? I'll be at home talking to the plants. I'll be ranting to my dogs and plants.
You'll be on the internet looking up mock drafts.
Google Maps.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Jersey Mike's, if they had a resume, if their turkey sandwich had a resume, it would say 99% fat-free, raised without antibiotics. Jersey Mike's, be us up above. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, he doesn't want us to call it a farewell tour. But I would say to Aaron, if he was sitting here, you wanted to be traded. You wanted your contract restructured. You wanted Randall Cobb. You called it a beautiful mystery. Do we have a right to interpret it as a farewell tour? Don't we have a right to interpret it? So yesterday, he started with this. It's not a farewell tour.
You know, I don't want a farewell tour. I don't know what's going to happen after the season, but I'm going to enjoy it with the right perspective for sure. And not look at it as I'm getting through this. I'm just going to enjoy the hell out of it.
All right. But you have done a bunch of stuff, and we're interpreting it as... this is the last year. I'll give you an example. He had a very funny bite yesterday. But what am I supposed to think when this is the exchange with a reporter?
Is it true? Do you use revenge for motivation?
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
So he doesn't want a farewell tour, but he keeps dropping one of those every...
He's just messing with everybody. I can't even say it with a straight face. I love it.
No, I'm not saying... But he doesn't want it to be a farewell tour, but all of his comments are farewell tour comments.
Nah, so, he out of here. He's gone. Just enjoy it. This is his last year in Green Bay.
Yeah, it is. No, I mean, this morning, it's his last year.
He can't come out and say it, because then I get what he's saying when he doesn't want a farewell tour. He can't come out and say, this is my last year in Green Bay, because then it becomes all about his last year in Green Bay. And it's not about this season. That's unfair to his teammates. It's really unfair to him. Like, he's not going to be able to focus on the here and now, which he seems like he's very much in that space.
Right.
So, you know, the journey is the treasure. And I think he's abiding by that. But meanwhile, while he's doing that, he's just going to sprinkle a few things to, you know, kind of soften the blow when he is definitely peace out at the end of the season.
I think we both totally agree with
that. A reckoning.
I mean, he's just now, he's just screwing with the Packers.
And us, you know, in the media.
Well, it'll be fun to watch.
I love it.
Well, it'll be fun to watch. Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. 2021 Mercedes-Benz SUVs. Everyone looking to impress you. Go to MercedesBenz.com. It's the herd.